Welcome to the Raiser's Inc. podcast with your host, Jonathan Farini. They say big things come in little packages, and one 1963 film more than epitomizes that sentiment. So pour yourself a drink, pull up a chair, and hear Jonathan's take on movies, television, and today, a little package of a movie that might open your heart and just may remind you of the goodness in humanity. Here's your host, Jonathan Farini.
In 1959, Jack Kerouac's On the Road was published. In the same year, a television program called Route 66 premiered. Both the book and series were about breaking free and self-discovery. Lilies of the Field is in keeping with this theme. On the surface, it may appear to be a simple story, but you have to think about it in order to find the meaning. That was my relationship with this beautiful movie over half a century. The movie premiered in October of 1963. In about a month, John F. Kennedy would be assassinated, and the country would never be the same again. When we are introduced to the protagonist, played by Sidney Poitier, named Homer Smith, he's parked along a lonely Arizona desert two-lane highway.
My car's thirsty. Can I please have some water?
Got a scoot. He has sent me a big, strong man.
He didn't say anything to me about sending me any place. I was just passing by.
Yeah, you did not pass.
That is your car.
That's my home.
Now you fix, and dann habe ich. I have something you do.
I thank you very kindly, man, but I got places to go. Thanks for the water.
Homer doesn't realize when he makes a turn onto a dusty dirt driveway and finding a cloister of five German nuns, his life would never be the same. And, like On the Road and Route 66, Homer Smith would be on the road to self-discovery. The director and producer was Ralph Nelson, who was fresh off a feature named Requiem for a Heavyweight, written by Rod Serling, but wasn't a big-name director. At the very beginning of the movie, he frames Homer standing alongside his station wagon, with electrical poles resembling crucifixes in the backdrop. The metaphor is so strong, he might as well have hung an effigy of Jesus on one of them. Nelson would direct the 1968 feature called Charlie, starring Cliff Robertson, who won the Oscar for Best Actor. Despite the heavy-handed metaphor, Nelson does well directing underdog protagonists. See my podcast, Charlie. In short, the movie is about an angel dropped into a cloister of sisters, barely scraping by as farmers within the Arizona desert. He's an angel who has taken the form of a black man who will perform work around the property, believing he will be paid, and discovers his real purpose is to build a chapel, and in doing same, leads to the self-discovery that he is an architect and contractor. Likely, this need for self-discovery was the impetus for putting him on the road. This is the bargain inside the story. Mother Maria, played by Lilia Scala, who's nominated here for Best Supporting Actress, is the mother superior and is quite strict and demanding of Homer.
Schmidt read it in English.
Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, not even Solomon in all his glories was arrayed as one of these.
Consider the lilies.
What's that?
You go to bed. Tomorrow Sunday is. The mass in town is 9 by the clock.
I'm a Baptist. I don't go to mass.
We go.
Well, how'd you get there before I came along?
We walk every Sunday, now we got you.
Now, damn it! You ain't got me.
Good night, Schmidt.
Now, get that very straight.
Schlafen Sie wohl,
and cut that out.
Bless you, Schmidt.
I don't recall a single thank you ever extended to Homer. We don't know anything about Homer Smith, except he's heading west. The screenplay was loosely adapted from a novel by William Edmund Barrett and written by James Poe, who wrote the screenplay for the 1958 Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Adapting Tennessee Williams is an honor and quite a Herculean task, but in my opinion, his most formidable accomplishment within his filmography, in addition to Lilies of the Field. I would have included something about Homer's background inside the screenplay to add apprehension to his first meeting with Mother Maria. It would have been reasonable for Mother Maria to exercise some apprehension before hiring him on. For example, maybe he's running from Jim Crow west to a job in an auto or aircraft plant on the West Coast, or just released from prison for a nonviolent wrong place, wrong time, wrong people beef. This would have added tension to the relationship with the order. Bad guy turned good. Writers, be cautious with the characters' names you select. Homer is a very important name, author of the Iliad and Odyssey, a writer of history, and father of narrative focus, bringing the massive down to a human scale and relatable. It would have been wonderful for Mother Maria or Father Frazier, the young camper van clergyman, to tell Homer why his name is important, particularly in relation to turning the massive undertaking of building a chapel into a reality. There's beautiful English language instruction which takes place, including a German to English LP the sisters recite, replete with tourist phrases in English until Homer takes over.
Tell you what, I sing one of them down home go to meeting songs, and you're going to have to help me out. You join in with me, all right? Okay, all you have to sing is amen.
Amen.
Nicked amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right. Okay? Now here we go.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Now come on.
Amen. 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 Sing it over.
Wonderful scenes which create a bond between four of the sisters, but Sister Maria remains the boss. It's hard to understand why Homer keeps taking handyman assignments, including driving the sisters to church, which is a camper shell run by a young priest who has a 400-square-mile parish. The priest tells Homer the sisters are broke and barely scraping by, including walking miles to Sunday services. After delivering the sisters to Sunday services, Homer meets the owner of a diner named Juan, who is played aptly by Stanley Adams.
So, a stack of wheat cakes with lots of melted butter. Maple syrup. And fry me 3, 4, 5 eggs with a mess of sausages and a mountain of white toast with strawberry marmalade and keep the coffee coming.
No beans?
You got beans?
The most, senor.
Them too.
You take milk?
I said fresh.
I squeezed it myself this morning. What do you want?
Okay.
Huh?
Paradise. Paradise. Now, melt some cheese over those beans.
Hey, what's the matter? You're not in church.
I'm a Baptist.
What are you doing working for the sisters?
I work for myself. How come you're not in church?
I got a business.
But you're a Catholic.
No. I was born one, but... Father Murphy.
What's the matter with him?
He drinks.
He's a priest.
He's Irish.
Homer hasn't been eating very well at the cloister and treats himself to one hell of a breakfast. Like the priest, Juan tells Homer Sister Maria won't let loose of him until he builds a chapel, and his payment will be in the form of insurance, within the religious sense of the word. He's continually asking to be paid, but Sister Maria is tone deaf. Homer takes off and leaves, but returns after a 3-week bender. There's no explanation for the return. Again, there's an opportunity here for some infill storyline within a script. Virtually any guilt-related MacGuffin would work, but we're left by screenwriter Poe with nothing. Fill in the blanks, listeners. Your solution is as good as my many ideas. The relationship between Homer and Mother Maria needed more than what was offered. I submit a late-night conversation between Mother Maria and Homer like, Schmidt, what is it like to be a black man in America? What's it like to be a German nun who traveled 8,000 miles to America after escaping East Germany? Difficult, Schmidt. It's always difficult looking from the outside in, regardless where you're from, Mother. So, what's Homer's payment? Mother Maria delivers Homer to meet Mr. Ashton, who owns a construction company. Ashton is played by the director Ralph Nelson. Ashton refers to Homer as boy several times and is in disbelief Homer can build a chapel and doesn't believe Homer is a self-described out-of-state independent contractor. Homer asks for a job operating heavy equipment and returns the favor of being referred to as boy to Ashton. Remember, the famous face-slapping of the plantation owner, which will come in 4 years within the heat of the night.
Let me understand this. You two came here to question me?
Well, your attitudes, Mr. Endicott, your points of view are a matter of record. Some people, well, let us say the people who work for Mr. Colbert might reasonably regard you as the person least likely to mourn his passing. We were just trying to clarify some of the evidence. Was Mr. Colbert ever in this greenhouse, say, last night about midnight?
Homer gets Ashton's attention with the slur instead of the boot, but is warned he'll be fired immediately if he can't operate the machinery. Homer works 2 days a week, buys armful of groceries, which he returns to the cloister, and works on the chapel. His work for Ashton involves building roads, and Ashton is so impressed he offers Homer the job of foreman. Homer politely declines. The introduction by Mother Maria creates the self-discovery and completion of her chapel. We have to dig for this revelation, but I'm certain it's correct. Ashton was sufficiently impressed he donates building materials. Homer insists upon building the chapel himself and confesses to Mother Maria he wanted to be an architect but couldn't afford school. Mother Maria chides Homer and suggests he put the Mexican-Americans who have come to donate their labor to work. Homer concedes, and now with blueprints under arm, he has become an architect and contractor, overseeing every facet of the construction until completion. Homer completes the setting of the cross atop the steeple, symbolizing completion of the job. There is a humble but apt and beautiful homey musical score running throughout this film by Jerry Goldsmith, one of the greatest. Shout out to Jester Harrison, who dubs in Homer singing Amen and served as the composer of the beautiful lyrics.
It's English lesson time. I build a chapel.
I build a chapel.
You build a chapel.
You build a chapel.
Oh, we build a chapel.
We build a chapel.
He built the chapel.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Sing it over. Amen. 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 See the baby wrapped in the manger.
This was a 94-minute film, short but said a lot. Its budget was about $250,000, which equates to around $2.5 million today. Sidney was in his late 30s when he made this film. I contend he felt it was necessary to showcase his acting brilliance as he was getting older. The 60s were very good to Sidney. He'd go on to star inside A Patch of Blue, 1965, To Sir With Love, 1967, In the Heat of the Night, 1967, and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, 1967. Sidney's instincts were correct and awarded the Best Actor Oscar in 1964, the first African-American winner and only the second African-American Oscar winner following Hattie McDaniel, Best Supporting Actress, Gone with the Wind, 1940. Sidney received the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2009 and awarded Knight Commander of the British Empire by Queen Elizabeth in 1974. In 2020, Lilies of the Field was placed within the National Film Registry by the Library of Congress. Amen. Until I see you next time, please leave behind a soft footprint, and class is dismissed.
And whatever your spiritual beliefs, in creating a more tolerant and understanding world, I build the chapel, you build the chapel, we build the chapel. You've been listening to the Razor's Ink podcast with Jonathan Farini. Be sure to check out Jonathan's collection of fiction at jonathanfarini.com. There you'll find everything from drama to romance, something for every reader, including his short story, The Last Stop Vineyard, recently published by Rundelania. That's jonathanfarini.com, Farini with two R's, one N. Or drop an email to razorsinkpodcast@gmail.com. Amen.
Oh, palm branches in pomp and splendor.
Amen. Amen.
See him in the garden, praying to his Father.